unsupervised kids on who knows what they're looking at. Okay, are we ready to start? Yep. I thought my generator was mowing my lawn today. Did y'all hear that we've got the Deputy Lieutenant Governor of Tennessee coming next week to speak to us? Okay. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. This is Rabbi Joe. Welcome to For Zion's Sake Ministries and our Yehuda Messianic Congregation. We have a great service for you today because the Lord of the universe is running it. Praise God. I'm standing up here. But he's the one that's running the service today. So we've come to worship the Lord. We are your local connection to Israel in Bristol, Tennessee. Today we're going to continue. God's given me a revelation about the war in Ukraine that I did not, from an angle I did not think of, and I'm going to share that in my message today as I continue a little bit about Aliyah and the beast and the connection there and what's going on. I think it's going to be really interesting how it connects and how we see the connection with Russia. Anyway, which is very prominent in biblical prophecy. So stay with us, and we're gonna start our liturgy and our worship. We're going to open with a couple songs. And I'm just looking for Jeremiah. Where is Jeremiah 31:31? I'm looking for it. Yeah, here it is. I got one. All right. Okay, let's get started. Praise the Lord. Baruch Hashem. Everybody say Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom.
Hallelujah. Jeremiah 31 says, "He who scattered Israel will bring him back again."
Shepherd keeps his flock. He who scattered Israel will gather him again and keep him as
He will. He's gathering us. And it's painful. We'll talk about that. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech ha-Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Where you dwell and the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend a knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time, O God, in your abundant righteousness. Answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Amen. I've never said this before, but it is customary to stand for that song. And when it says, I will bend the knee before the Lord my Maker, I will bow, that we are to actually bow, or, you know, in my case, it's I just bend the knee. That's what you do generally. Most people bend the knee. And so it's customary to stand. I know William's going to demonstrate. Just kidding. no, he won't be, and I can barely do it, but it is, I've never said this, so there's grace, but it is customary to do that, so just want to let you know. All right, somebody was trashing rabbis on a friend of mine, who I thought was my friend, was trashing anybody that calls themselves rabbi, mother, father, pastor, any title. And I'm gonna tell you something. I don't walk around saying, "Hi, I'm Rabbi Joe." I just introduce myself as Joe. In fact, when I met Matthew, I introduced myself as Joe. I didn't even tell him I was a rabbi. He didn't ask. And when he was new in town, I just introduced myself and welcomed him to the neighborhood, didn't I? But I didn't tell you I was a rabbi. I don't go around saying I'm Rabbi Joe. But I tell people call me rabbi, I say, if I'm not your rabbi, I say, don't call me rabbi, because I'm not your rabbi. If I'm your rabbi, you can call me rabbi. But if I'm not your rabbi, don't call me rabbi. And I don't think that Yeshua meant for people not to call their father or dad, or their mother or mom, or their pastor. In fact, it's like in the military. I was talking to Matt the other day, and he said he was a major. My dad was a major, and you know, when you I remember in Band of Brothers, where the guy had to his commanding officer had become junior to him, and and the guy didn't want to salute the younger man who had outranked him. And so the man who had outranked him said, "Salute the office, salute the rank. If not the man, salute the rank." I think it's a healthy thing to respect the office, and I would never, you know, I'd always, you know, I have no problem calling, calling somebody. Well, I prefer to be called Bishop. So why don't you all just call me Bishop Joe? All right, let's move on. What's next? Vishamru. All right. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledor tamburin olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledor tamburin olam. Bnei 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 Israel, Bnei Israel, Odhi Leolam. Vishamru Bnei Israel, Et HaShabbat Lasod Et HaShabbat Ledoro Tamburit Olam. Kisheshet yamim asah Adonai, shemayim v'et haaretz. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat ledoro tamburit olam. V'yom ha-shvi'i shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledoro tamburit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Pray for Jerusalem. Let there be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her.
test this mic? Was it on during the song? That would have been good. When I'm sitting down, it's a good idea. Praise the Lord. And in fact, if you have to, just leave it on. And I'll shut it off myself. All right. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for Ukraine and for our president. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we bow our heads and our hearts, and we have heavy hearts, Lord, for Ukraine, Lord, and for the way this was handled, and the way the nations are going to reap what they have sown by not helping Ukraine. The Russians will come back into Eastern Europe, sure as sugar, and we'll talk about that today. But there's going to be havoc in the world coming, and there already is. And there is no rapture for Ukrainians who are being blown up in buildings and having their cars blown up in the streets and being shot and executed and raped. There's no rapture for those people. For them, this is the tribulation, and they're wondering, I'm sure Christians over there are wondering, where's the rapture? But Lord, we just pray for them today. We have pray for your mercy upon them, and that you spare them, especially the civilians and the mothers and the children. We pray, Lord, that you spare their lives and protect them. We pray for your chosen people. There are many hundreds of thousands there, that you protect them as well as they leave. Many of them leave Ukraine. I believe you're bringing us home, Lord. You're bringing us home. And we never would have left and gone home had this not happened. But you're bringing thousands of us back home. And we are actually seeing the completion. Well, I'll talk about it today. But they're going home, back to Israel. Some will go to Europe, but many will go to Israel because they know that's the only place. It's the only Jewish country. It's the homeland of the Jewish people. Lord, we pray that you would part the seas for us, for Messianic Jews and Christians, and that we say to Israel, to the spirits that control that country, let my people come. Let my people come. And we say to the spirits holding us back from leaving the nations, let my people go. Let my people go. We're not talking to Pharaoh. We're talking to powers and principalities of darkness in high places that are holding us back and blinding Jewish people from seeing, and Christians too, that Israel is our spiritual home. And for Jewish people, it's our physical homeland, but it's also for Christians, it's our spiritual homeland too. So Lord, we just thank you that you bring us back, bring us home. And we pray, Lord, I pray for the Messianic rabbis today, Lord, as they lead their congregations, that you give them revelation. I pray, Lord, that you give them revelation, that you give them great boldness and power as they speak, and no fear of man. I pray, Lord, that they would preach the truth in power. I pray, Lord, for our leaders, that they would act. As I spoke to a very high leader, and I said, this was about 4 or 5 days ago. I said, I suppose you're focused on Ukraine right now. And he said, oh no, we're not doing anything. And all of a sudden I heard from Dave a couple days ago that they're all of a sudden, now they're helping Jews get back to Israel. They weren't doing anything 5 or 6 days ago. So I marvel at the whole thing, how that quickly, maybe something I said changed it. I don't know. But they need to be doing something, that's for sure. So anyway, we just pray for them. We pray for our government, Lord. We just pray that they would not sit on their hands, but that they would act, Lord, and stop waiting till it's too late and do nothing and let people die and leave people behind and cause many people to die. Biden, he promised Stinger missiles and those other ones. What do you call those tank missiles? Javelins. He promised them back in November, and he just sent them last week. If he'd sent them in November, they would have been able to use them. Now, many people have died who didn't have to die because of that. So, Lord, we just pray that our government would stop sitting on their hands and that they would wake up. I thank you that Nancy Pelosi said stop buying oil from Russia. Hopefully that Biden will listen to her and that we'll stop financing the war in Ukraine and by buying their oil. And God help us and forgive us for buying oil from the Iranians too, and thinking that these people are our friends, like the Taliban, Russia, and they're not our friends. Why are we buying oil from them when we have plenty of oil right here? It makes no sense. God, help us. Help those of us who didn't put this man in office. Save the rest of us, Lord, and help those people who were blind see what he has caused. And forgive him, Father. Forgive them all as Yeshua said on the cross, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And help us to forgive them, Lord, and not to be bitter, because it's very easy to be bitter and resent them for the way they're destroying this country. In Yeshua's name, and bless those with health issues, Lord. We just pray for William that he gets his knee fixed, and anybody else, pray for Carolyn that you continue to strengthen her, and everybody else that's recovered from COVID, that you strengthen their bodies and their immune systems. We pray, Lord, thank you. I have a praise report for Isaac that's unspoken, and I just want to thank you for what you did for Isaac. I want to thank you for Dawn getting her wings yesterday and the ceremony. She is officially a pilot with a very major airline, and I'm not going to name it on here, but she's officially, and her cousin came all the way from New Mexico to Colorado. He drove up there. He was a captain on a 777, and he pinned her, and he was so thrilled to come. And he worked for the same airline and retired as a captain on a 777, and he drove there to be with her at the ceremony. And Isaac and I watched it online yesterday, and it was wonderful. It was very brief, but we saw, you know, it was wonderful to see her among 70. She's got the largest class in her airline that they've ever had in history, and this is an airline that's been around for it's one of the big three. And so anyway, I just thank you, Lord, for that, and pray for strength for Zelensky and for the Ukrainian army and for the partisans and for all the foreigners going to fight. I pray for strength for the medics that are going there to help the injured, that you would just be there for them, Lord, and protect them, watch over them, give your angels charge over them. In Yeshua's name, amen. Josh, were you able to turn it on cool downstairs? Cool, that's cool, very cool. Thank you.
And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Okay, what's next?
It's the next thing.
Okay.
Alvinu Malkanu.
All right. Shabbat Shalom. Welcome, friends online. I'm Joe the Rabbi.
Alvinu
Malkanu.
Spanish, but I don't know what good that would do you. So I'll read it in Hebrew. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu v'Elohei Avoteinu Elohei Avraham Elohei Yitzchak v'Elohei Yaakov Ha'el Hagadol Hagibor Hanora El Elyon Gomel Chasadim Tovim V'konei Ha'akol V'zocher Chasdei Avot Umevi goel ivne vnehem lama an shemo biahava. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, and God of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, the great and mighty and awesome God, the Most High God, who bestows grace and creates all and remembers the kindness of the fathers and brings a Redeemer to their children's children for his name's sake with love. Amen. Shema. Please rise for the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, V'chol Levavcha, V'chol Nafshecha, V'chol Me'odecha, V'hayu Hadivarim Ha'ele, Asher Enochi Mitzvcha Hayom Al Levavecha, V'shinata Levanecha, V'dibarta Bam, V'shivtecha Beveitecha, U'v'lechtecha V'aderech, Uveshach Becha, Vukumecha, Ukishartam, Liot Al Yadecha, Behayula Totafot Bene Necha, Ukatav Tam, Almazazot Betecha, Uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Mi chamocha.
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. We're going to just move forward to Anthony. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah,
Baruch Hu Adonai Hamborah,
Baruch Adonai Hamroch Yolam Vahed, Baruch Adonai Hamroch Yolam Vahed, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam,
Asher Achar Banu Mikol Haolamim, Netnatan Lanu Et Torato, Baruch Atah Adonai Notein HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen. Amen.
You can have a seat.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, we're finishing up this week's Parsha on Pudukai, which means to account for something or accounts. It's the last book in Exodus, or Shemot. It's chapter 38 through 40 in the half Torah, 1 Kings 7, 40 through 8, 21. So we're ending the parasha, this whole book. Seems like we just started, but we're at the end. Time for us marches on. Seems like for me it marches a little quicker. Seems like something's on my heels, and I keep stutter-stepping to get by. I'm out of step or something. But, you know, but last week we talked a little about the two young men who were, God had given the ability to work in the gold, the silver, and the bronze, and all the beautiful gems that had been given. And, you know, they were given special talents. But, you know, God is telling us that what God did, he took, you know, one came from the tribe of Judah, one from the tribe of Benjamin. God took the one from the biggest tribe, one from the smallest. But God is giving us something else here. He's telling us that he took the largest and the smallest because he wanted it to be a place of worship for everybody. And that's what God was asking. He wanted them to build him a place. He gave them. He gave Moses the blueprints. And, you know, if you read it, if you read the portion, you'll see where, you know, everything was done by, you know, by God's hand. God gave Moses the draft plans, and everything was done by God, by the hand of God. He endorsed everything. And, you know, you see that with this tabernacle, God wanted a place to dwell, but when you think about it, God's dwelling place was in between the two cherubims in the Ark of the Covenant. That's a very small, you probably can't get your hand in there. I don't know, you might be able to in the actual one, but God was telling them it wasn't exactly to be in the tent in the Ark of the Covenant, but God wanted to be inside of them is what God wanted to. That was where he actually wanted to be, was inside each of their hearts. That's, and God wants that today for us. He wants to be in our hearts so that he can be close to us and sort of keep track of what we're doing. So, you know, but today we see if this was counting, and, you know, Moses voluntarily agreed to count all the items that went into the tabernacle, into the development of it and the creation of it. But what's interesting, God didn't ask Moses to do that. He didn't say, go out and count all the diamonds that's been brought or all the gems. Don't weigh all the gold and count all of that. He didn't tell him to do that. But Moses voluntarily did that. And I think that tells us a lot about Moses and the fact that he was a man of great integrity. That's something you probably, a word you don't see or hear a lot anymore is integrity. That's doing what's right, what's godly right, an honorable thing to do. We certainly don't see that much in the world today. There's very little integrity at all, if there's any at all. But, you know, Moses, you know, he knew all that would, he knew everybody was going to be looking at him. So in the world today, you have leaders and spiritual leaders, and, you know, and people are looking at them, but they still make mistakes and they still do things that are not the right thing to do. So integrity is something that we all should strive to be, have a person with integrity. And what was donated to the temple, that, or to the tabernacle that was going to be built for God, 1,930 pounds of gold was brought forth for the tabernacle. 6,650 pounds of silver was brought. 4,680 pounds of bronze were brought. And that, if I'm correct, that's probably over 6 ton of precious metals that was brought into the tabernacle. So you can see a very beautiful place. I don't know what six tons of all these minerals would be worth today, but I think Joe just said something about silver is what, $25, $26.
It has been bouncing between $23 and $25 an ounce.
So you can imagine if you had 6,650 pounds, how much silver that would be. So it was a lot, an enormous amount of wealth in today's world was put into that moving tabernacle. You know, it wasn't a permanent structure. They moved it many times. It was moved many times. Sometimes they would stay months and just a short period of time, and they was constantly moving it around. And so I think God is telling us too, as Moses took the authority to go and count all that and account for it, that we also realize that God is also instructing us that we need to be spiritually accountable also. That's the root thing that God is seeking. We must be spiritually accountable for the things that God has bestowed upon us and the things that we need to be doing for the kingdom of God. And I think with that, you know, our decisions should be based on the Heavenly Father's will. And how do we do that? We read his word, we pray, we seek his face, and it's a good idea, you know, to have a couple of close friends that you can rely on, that can help you if you need to help make decisions, people that are godly, people that pray, and they will pray with you and for you to God so that you'll get the right answer. It's always good to have a couple of close friends that you can call on and say, hey, can you help me? Can you pray with me on this? It's very good. That's what God wants us to do, help one another. That's what it's about. And so the tabernacle, you know, they left Egypt, and they've journeyed. It's been 2 years since they where they're at today. And so it's been a long journey. And again, the tabernacle was the center of Jewish life. And so the day came that all the instruments, everything was built, and it was ready to be put together. And then Moses blessed it, and they sanctified it, and then they put it together and made it the place for God. One of the first things they did, they put the altar into the room and the things that they had there. Let me get over here. One of the things I picked up was one of the important things was the crown that was put upon the head of the high priest. That would have been Aaron, and it was engraved. Of course, it was gold, pure gold. It had a blue sash, that blue rope actually in the back that was interwoven into the back that kept it tied to the back of his head. So if he had to bend over or move or do something like that, it would not fall off. And of course, you've heard me say this before, it was engraved holy unto God, Kadosh La Adonai, and it was entitled to that. It was tied in the back, and it was held in place. Everything in the tabernacle had to be ritually pure. It had to be sanctified and prayed over. Nothing went in that was not prayed over and anointed from the Israelites. And everything that, and the tea seat was worn, that's what the crown was called, or a mitre. So a lot of people call them a mitre. And we see that it was worn on the forehead. And the forehead tells us that his intellect, the ability of the priest far exceeded his intellect. That's what the meaning of that tzitzit on his head meant, that it was beyond just him, his intelligence. And I know he was to be Aaron, he had to be pretty smart, because God had given him the ability to lead the religious side of God into the Israelites. But it had to represent more than that. That's what the crown represented. More than that on his forehead, that his ability would far exceed his intellect. And it had to be trust in God. You see, even in every situation, if we have to die to human hope and what we want human-wise, we have to die and let God take over. In chapter 40, the last part of that, it says Moses erected the tabernacle. Moses helped in erecting that, and it was done. God gave him the plan. It was done by the hand of God. This was how it was going to be constructed and put out into the wilderness. You see, just to sort of wind it up this morning, the Jewish people are a people that is not... Judaism is really not a religion. It's really people. It's Jewish people. That's Judaism. And on the day that the tabernacle was dedicated, it had been exactly 2 years. It was on the first day of Eve, or Nisan, that's called now. And actually, back many, many years ago, the Passover, of course, was in that first that they celebrated, that they observed in Egypt. But back then, at sometimes every periods there of history, they used to call Passover was called, well, that was another feast. It was called the Feast of Aviv, which was actually relating to Passover. So it was done on the first day of the first month in the second year. So they had traveled 2 years, and we still got a distance to go before they travel to Cana. And we see that where they had the spies who went in and they would not go, God had taken them all the way to Cana to go on into Israel, into the Promised Land. And they did not want to go because they were afraid that things wasn't going to be what they wanted. So they wanted to go check it out before they went over. And so God said, God didn't bless it. God said, if so be it, if that's what you want to do, then you go check it out. God didn't tell them what he was going to do when they came back. He knew what was going to happen. 12 went over, and only two gave a good witness about the land of Israel, that it was a beautiful land. Of course, they was giants. They was armies. They were walled cities. But the two men that came said, we can, with God's help guiding us, we can take this land. It will be ours. And the other 10 that makes dominion in Hebrew, they said, no, we can't do it. We're like little grasshoppers. They'll step on us and kill us, just like ants on a sidewalk where somebody's dropped a piece of candy or an ice cream cone. And they said, we can't do it. So God said, well, fine, so be it. You'll stay a year for every day you were over there and you didn't want to go in. So they stayed another 40 years. And everybody from age 20 forward all perished in the wilderness because they did not act on God's word. Sort of like us today, we need to act on God's word. We need to be observant. And just like Yeshua said, you know, I'm with you to the ends of the world. He says, do not be afraid, for I am with you unto the ends of the world. I know today there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of things going on in the world. People are afraid they won't have food. But I would tell you today, but trust God and don't be afraid, because Yeshua said, do not be afraid, for I am with you always. He's always. He's here with us today. When you go buy a gallon of gas, he's going to be there with you too. And somehow, some way, here we're going to make it through. Amen. I'm not going to tell you it's not going to be easy. There'll be some trying times, but with God's help, we will make it through. We're going to make it through to the other side. Shabbat shalom.
Praise the Lord. Am I up now? Dave says I'm like a one-man band, you know. I'm playing the harmonica, and I'm playing the drums and the cymbal with my feet, and playing the banjo with my hand. And I think that was funny. I should make that image the symbol of our congregation. Rabbi Joe's one-man band. Anyway, so Shabbat Shalom. Praise the Lord. Just a couple announcements. I got a call from a state senator a few weeks ago, and he wanted a recipe. He really did. He wanted a recipe to soup. And I've never given out that recipe. It cost me $175,000 for that recipe. But it's been 6 years since I owned the shop, and I told him if he didn't sell it and he didn't share it and he didn't use it commercially, I'd give it to him. And so I was visiting with him yesterday, and found out he's the deputy lieutenant governor of the state of Tennessee. I asked him, if the current lieutenant governor, who's a friend of mine, I said, if he steps down, you know, he's getting older. He's an older gentleman. I said, if he steps down at some point, do you think you'll step in? You know, you think they'll... They pick, it's the Senate picks who gets to be the lieutenant governor. So if they picked him to be the deputy, it's probably, he's in line probably to be the lieutenant governor, the next one. Anyway, I asked him, he said he didn't want the job, which means he probably does. you know, because he probably doesn't want me going to the newspaper and saying that, you know. But I asked him, I've been talking to him about coming to speak to us about preparedness, about the state of Tennessee, about things. When I first asked him, you know, it was about, you know, states' rights versus federal rights, COVID plans for, you know, events for other things like that could happen to us. What would happen in the event of war, what would happen in the event of another pandemic. Basically, what is the state doing about these things, and where does Tennessee stand? And I wondered where he stood on the Second Amendment, and I noticed when I came into his office at the front door, it said, all people, it had a picture of guns, and it said, anyone with a gun is welcome to carry it in here as long as you holster it. And as long as you shoot well, you aim correctly if you need to use it. Anyway, he's coming to speak to us for 1 hour from 10:30 a.m. sharp. I mean, he'll be here. I'm telling you, he's a captain in the Navy Reserve. He's a Naval Reserve captain. I always used to call him Commander when he was a commander. But But now he's a captain. So he'll be here sharp at 10:30 next week, and I will too. Come, this was my practice. come heck or high water. So please be here on time. Don't come late if you want to hear this man, because he's not going to be late. So be here seated at 10:29, because he'll start at 10:30 and he will leave at 11:30 to go have lunch with his daughter. And we'll have just 1 hour with him to hear what he has to say and ask him questions. So I want you to think about, and even folks online, if you have questions, submit them to me. Email me your questions. Do you get our email, Sharon?
I can't get one of them.
The FZS? You getting that one? Okay, so that's the email on the website. Okay, so folks watching online, if you email questions for the Deputy Lieutenant Governor, just email them online. Folks in the room, you can text me if you have questions. I will write them down, and then I will ask him your questions and say, so-and-so, you know, Dave asks such-and-such, you know, so that we don't have to raise hands and waste time going like this, you know. And if you have a question, you can raise your hand. I'm not being, but try to get, think about what you might ask a high official in the state of Tennessee. Now, Virginia now has Glenn Youngkin, and I think you have the House of Delegates and the state Senate are all Republican right now, so I think you're doing pretty good here. But maybe one day we could get Israel O'Quinn, who's our representative on this side of town. We could get Israel O'Quinn to come and speak to us. I've met Israel before, and we'll get a Virginia representative. But next week we're having a Tennessee representative come. So I invite people online. You're welcome. Invite your friends if you have people who are interested. Don't just invite anybody. Invite people who would be interested to hear him. He won't be staying for service. He'll just be here from 10:30 to 11:30 next week. When is Purim? Does anybody have the date? I think I have it here in this calendar. We still have calendars, by the way. If you don't have your Jewish biblical calendar, I encourage you. We still have a bunch. You can get them for $23 shipped. That includes shipping. So just send the ministry $23 and ask for a calendar. If you want two calendars, it's still $3 shipping. Just send $43. If you want two calendars. But anyway, Purim is the 17th, is the 16th, starts the night of the 16th and 17th, and it runs. Shushan Purim is on the 18th. So really runs through that weekend of the 19th. I'll probably teach on it on the 19th and probably teach on Purim next week as well. I'll probably do a two-week teaching on Purim. Next week will be the 12th. And the week after is the 19th. So it's good. He's not really coming on Purim, but he is coming, Deputy Lieutenant Governor of Tennessee, to speak to you. So let's have a good turnout. Let's bring our friends. Who thinks they're going to be here? Would you raise your hand? Praise the Lord. Okay. Please try. Please make an effort to come. And folks watching, I invite you to come. If you're long distance and you can get here, please try to come up and be here for that day. It'll be a special day, a day of preparation. I'm having him here for that very purpose, for preparation and to instruct us on things that we need to know. And he'll probably give us answers like can't comment on that. Was a joke, but all right, so we are going to receive our tithes and offerings, and You may wonder, why does Rabbi always get on the phone text line and warn us about preparing and so forth? And why is he always telling us to buy food? And why is he always telling us to do this? Well, I'm going to answer that. It's not just because you should, but the name of our ministry is For Zion's Sake. And if you read Isaiah 62, it says, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent." That's my first problem. "For Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth like brightness and her salvation like a torch that is burning. The nations will see your righteousness and all kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord will designate. You will also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. It will no longer be said to you, 'Forsaken,' nor to your land will it any longer be said, 'Desolate.' But you will be called by 'My delight is in her,' and your land 'Married,' for the Lord delights in you, and in him your land will be married, as for a young man marries a virgin." And he goes on. Then he says, verse 6, "On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." Friends, I'm a watchman. So I'm going to be sending out warnings. Danger, danger. Be ready. As I hear things, I share them with you because I am a watchman. It's part of my calling. That's why I named this ministry for Zion's Sake Ministries. I'm a watchman on the wall. It's who I am, in case you haven't noticed. I'm always crying out, get ready, warning, be prepared. It's in me. It's part of who I am. It's not all of who I am, but it's a part of me to be a watchman. So that's why, you know, Deborah, you don't get the messages, but I send things out to the other people. I tell them what's going on, and I'll be talking about a lot of things today in my message today. Not everything that I've said in recent days, but it would be good for you to sit down if you're here later, to sit down with somebody and go over the texts I've sent out in the last 2 weeks, because there's been a lot of some important information that you need to know. So that's why I say, that's why I do it, you know. That's why I get on there and send out warnings and Will Robinson, danger, danger. Okay. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings. And so I'm going to read this scripture. "Now this I say," this is 2 Corinthians 10, 9, verse 6. "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad and gave it to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality which through us is producing thanksgiving to God." I'll stop there. So I'll just repeat the first line. "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Before I take the offering, I want to remind us that I mentioned the need for humanitarian aid for Ukraine, and many people made suggestions, and I've been meditating on it all week. And what I think is important to think about in giving to Ukraine is not only feeding people and clothing people there, but helping them make aliyah. We want to give to ministries that help Ukrainian Jews make aliyah to Israel. That is a very important So we want to find the ministries that are helping Ukrainians who have escaped get back to Israel. That's important. Somebody mentioned Chaim Jacob Malispin. He ran into trouble with the Israeli government. I would check out any ministry that you give to. I would check out whether they're actually doing what they say they're doing, and call them and look up, you know, reviews on them. Some ministries are ECFA labeled. You can go to the ECFA and look up Samaritan's Purse. You can look up the MJAA. You can look up every major ministry, World Vision, and see how much they're actually doing and giving before you give, okay? So just a tip about that. But the Lord laid it on my heart as I was listening to all your advice about what ministry to give to. The Lord said to me, I believe, I tell them to give to ministries that help my people go home. And I believe the MJA might be doing that. Dave said they were doing that. Reach Initiative is another ministry that may be helping Jews get back. Sharon Grindle is on our text page. She mentioned several good ministries yesterday, and I recommend that you read her post. Go back, scroll back a few posts, and read Sharon Deutscher Grindle's post. And she put some good ministries on there that she's checked out, and I'm sure she's, you know, she's a philanthropist, so she knows who she's giving to. So anyway, with that said, let's pray and take up our tithes and offerings. And if you're not sure who to give to and you want us to do it for you, we will just make out, this is not your tithe, but as an offering, make out a check or mark off your envelope and say to our bookkeeper so she knows for Ukrainian aid. Just say for Ukrainian aid. And we'll send it off to a good ministry, I promise. Okay, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, and folks online, you can donate if you're blessed by this ministry. If you don't support Messianic ministries, local Messianic ministries, they'll disappear, and you won't have voices in crying out in the wilderness. You'll just have people that you can't talk to because they're unreachable, they're famous, and you can't call them up and ask them questions, and you can't text them or email them because you can't reach them. But you can reach me. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, Rabbi, why there's an extra month on the Jewish calendar? Do y'all know why there's an extra month on the biblical calendar this month? Is Adar 2. Does anybody know why? Right. Well, there's 360 days on the biblical calendar. The Jewish calendar has 360 days a year. So that means the months are shorter than Western months. So every couple years we add a month called Adar 2, and so that we can keep the calendar, so that Passover will be in the spring, so that Pentecost, Shavuot will be in the late spring, early summer, so that the fall feast will be in the fall, and Hanukkah will be in the winter. And that's how they do it, by adding the month called Adar 2. So somebody asked that question on social media the other day. So anyway, let's pray and take the offering. And folks online, we thank you for your support. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you bless the giver and bless the gifts a hundredfold. And we just thank you that you provide for this ministry, and that you meet our needs. And we may not have riches, and we may not have a huge facility, but we own our own building. We're not renting, and we are blessed. We are very blessed to have our basic needs have been met, And we just thank you that you are getting us ready in your time. And I'm going to talk about your time today, your time frame, and in my message today, and what's going on prophetically. But now bless these offerings, and bless the givers, and bless the gifts again. In Yeshua's name, 100-fold. Amen. Would somebody bring me an envelope, please? Because I have a tithe to give myself.
I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. I will sing a new song.
Hashem. Praise the Lord. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto. That means blessed be Baruch Shem Kavod. Blessed be his glorious name forever.
Amen.
Amen. Blessed be his glorious name forever and ever.
Yes.
Hallelujah. All right. I couldn't print my message, so it's on my computer today. All right, we're going to do some worship, and then I'm going to share my word, the word gave me, and it's called Aliyah and the Beast. And God's going to tie together Aliyah and the war in Ukraine. And I think a lot of people, I'm hearing false prophets and false teachers teach that this is Gog and Magog. It's not. This is not Gog and Magog. Are you, anybody hearing that? That this is Gog and Magog? Pat Robertson said it. He's wrong. And I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the world hates Russia. Why would they align with Russia to attack Israel when his goal is to unite Russia? It's not time for Gog and Magog. It makes no sense.
No.
And I'll explain why. But you have to have revelation. And people are being led astray. Pat Robertson's a good man. But they shouldn't be teaching stuff unless they have a revelation. All right. Let's worship the Lord. Who wants to worship the Lord?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. You know, Don once said when we were out traveling the nation as musical missionaries, she kind of got confused in her head, and she said, "Okay, everybody, bow down and worship us." That's pretty funny. Bow down and worship us. We all looked at her, and she's like, "Oops." Okay. So that was funny. I thought so. All right, let's worship.
Rise, O Lord, to your resting place with all your power and might. As we stand here clothed in your righteousness, we sing, dance for joy.
Turn Dawn up, please.
For you have chosen Zion as a place where you
do not understand.
as we stand here clothed in your...
No. Turn up Dawn, please. Saying some, this is Psalm 34, guys. I wasn't telling you to change anything. Oh, okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's start from let us exalt. Let us exalt his name together forever. I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from my fears. Let us exalt his name together forever. Oh, sing his praises, magnify the Lord. Come, children, now and hear me. If you would see long life, just keep your lips from wickedness and lies. Do good and turn from evil, seek peace instead of strife. Love righteousness and God will hear your cry. Let us exalt his name together forever. I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from my fears. Let us exalt his name together forever. Oh, sing his praises, magnify the Lord. Oh, sing his praises, magnify the Lord. Oh, sing his praises, magnify the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We have anything else? Table now, and then I guess we'll do. You're going to do Hatoshimcha for communion, okay? So we're going to go to the Lord's table. So, if you folks at home, if you have some fruit of the vine, some grape juice, or some manischewitz, caramel, whatever you like, and some matzah or crackers, even bread. Get yourself ready and join us as we go to the Lord's table. We do it every week, so you can plan if you watch us to get ready every week to join us as we take communion together. We go to the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to make my way over there. And we're going to actually have non-prophylactic communion today. We're having regular communion. Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. We are we're doing it live and real. Are we going to have people serve today, Carol? Well, people, we're going to have people serve. Okay. How about Deborah and Sharon? Would you like to serve today? All right. So why don't you come on up, and I'll bless the cup and the bread, and praise God. Test 1, 2. All right. On the night he was betrayed, do we remember how to do this, gals? I think you get that one, and that's, I think, that's the bread that I bless, and those are the cups you serve. Oh, you get cups? Okay. Well, I've got to bless the bread, so just let me bless it. One of those should have been bread, and one should have been... anyway, it's okay. Let's see, do we have enough bread? No, it's already been broken. Okay, it's all right. It's all good. So anyway, let's bless it. Praise the Lord. All right. On the night he was betrayed, on Passover night, 1972. No, just kidding. On Passover night, probably around the year 33, 34, give or take, Yeshua was in Jerusalem in an upper room with his disciples, and he did something no other Passover leader or host had ever done. He took the cup, the third cup, the cup of redemption, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." And that was radical, as nobody had ever said that before. And he was referring to the new covenant that Jeremiah spoke of. Most Jewish people don't know that there's a new covenant. And if you tell them, they don't even know there is one. So, but Jeremiah the prophet, so for Jewish, if you have Jewish friends, ask them, a good way to start a conversation is to ask them if they know that God made a new covenant. And it says in Jeremiah 31:31, "Behold, days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, saith the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with them in those days, and I will put my Torah within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people, and no more will they say to their one another, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me." Praise the Lord. And so when Yeshua took the cup some 530 years later, give or take, when Yeshua took the cup, or 550 years, however, you know, sometime in that vicinity, after Jeremiah wrote it, he was fulfilling the prophecy of Jeremiah that God was going to make a new covenant. We actually did a sermon a couple weeks ago in Exodus 30 through 34, I think it was, about the new covenant, about how he broke the tablets coming down the mountain, and then he went up and made God renewed the covenant. And it was, we saw the prophecy of the new covenant in Exodus with the breaking of the tablets because they made the golden calf. Remember that sermon? So this is the fulfillment of the prophecy. So we see three prophecies. We see the Exodus prophecy of the new covenant. We see the Jeremiah prophecy of the new covenant. Maybe there's other ones, smaller prophecies. And then we see Yeshua fulfill it. He talks about it first, and then he does it. He goes to the cross. Amen? And that is, and Jewish people don't understand that, they don't even know. Most Jewish people don't even know that God was going to make a new covenant. But if they read the part about in Moses in Exodus, I believe it's Exodus 30 through 34, where Moses goes up the mountain, he gets the covenant, he goes down, he smashes the covenant, the tablets of the covenant, and then he goes and he gets angry. 3,000 die, and then God says, "Go back up the mountain." He goes back up the mountain, and God renews the covenant. Isn't it amazing? It's an amazing story and a picture of the sacrifice and the hardship of what Yeshua had to endure. Because Moses had to climb that mountain twice, and Yeshua had to climb Calvary. He had to climb it with 39 lashes and being punched to a pulp. I think of Rocky, the way they beat him to a pulp.
Yeah.
And he was just, his face was just mush, and he was bleeding. And, "Yo, Adrian," you know. Seriously, I just think of him being just beaten and bleeding and but he made it up that hill, and he did the job with all the sins of the world on his back. Unbelievable what he did for us. So that's the cup. This cup represents Yeshua's blood shed for us, the fullness of the new covenant, or the renewed marriage covenant. It's not just any covenant. It was the marriage covenant that God had made with Israel. He says, "Though I was a husband to you, but I will make a new covenant or a renewed covenant of marriage." And praise God. So, and then he took the bread, the afikoman, and so we, along with the third cup at Passover, a little piece of matzah is taken, along with the third cup, and it's taken together. And we call it afikoman. And Yeshua took the bread and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. As often as you do this in remembrance of me," he said. And so we take the cup as remembrance of his blood, the blood of the covenant, and the beating, the brokenness. And the matzah is pierced. He was pierced for our transgressions. The matzah is striped. By his stripes we are healed. The matzah is bruised. He was bruised for our transgressions, for our iniquities. And the matzah is unleavened, and he is sinless. And leaven equals sin. So unleavened would equal Yeshua. So everything about this little piece of bread represents our Lord. Mm-hmm. And so we invite all believers to join us. If you're watching, if you don't know the Messiah, the Bible says Yeshua is the Son of God, that he came to die for your sins and mine. Amazingly, he rose from the dead on the third day and conquering the power of sin and death. If you don't know Yeshua, and you'd like to make him your Messiah, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and lets me in, I will come in and dine with him, and he with me." And so all you have to do is let him in. It's like that wing song, "Open the door and let him in." And so you just have to open the door and let him in. So pray with me if you'd like to make Yeshua your Messiah and Savior. Pray this prayer with me. It's not the words, it's what's in your heart, okay? Dear God, just pray after me. Dear God, I have broken your laws. I have not read your word. I don't even know your commandments. I don't know all of them. I don't know. I only know some of them. I have not kept them. I break them every day. And I have sinned, because to not keep your law is sin. Sin is transgression of the law, of the Torah. Forgive me, God, for not obeying your Torah, for not obeying your laws. Forgive me, forgive my sins, my failure, and wash me in the blood of the Lamb, Yeshua, the Lamb of God, and wash me in the water of the Holy Spirit. Come into my heart, Yeshua, and be my Messiah right now, right here, right where I stand, right where I sit. Come into my life. Write my name in your book of life forever, in Yeshua's name. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, please contact me, and I will send you. I have a gift for you, so please let me know, and I'll send you. I have a gift, and God bless you. And to all others, I say, L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Today, instead of a little cup, you can come up, and the ladies will serve you. Okay, so L'chaim b'Yeshua. You can come. Before I begin my message on Aliyah and the Beast, sounds like Beauty and the Beast, but it's not. It's Ugly and the Beast. I want to just mention a couple things. Can somebody change a bulb? This bulb needs to be changed, and I can't get up there. We have a ladder right over here that's probably tall enough to get up on. And if you don't have one of those 90-watt outdoor bulbs, floodlight bulbs, if you need me to bring one, I'll bring one next week. Does anybody have one? I'm sorry. All right, I'll bring one. Next week, maybe somebody could change it out for me because I can't get up on the ladder. I think we have somebody's been changing the light bulbs in here. They look pretty lit. well enough. So praise the Lord. Have you all been enjoying these messages on the beast and the man of lawlessness and things like that? Have you been getting revelation from God as we teach? You know, I don't claim to be perfect or know everything. I don't claim to have all the answers. But I think the more we study it, the more that we grasp, and the more that God speaks to us, and we start to understand, oh, this is that. This is that. You know, this is the United Nations, blah, 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 you know, and it starts to come together. Is the pieces of the puzzle coming together? Raise your hand if that's happening in your life, Carol. Anybody else? Are the pieces of the puzzle coming together for you?
Yes.
Praise God. Well, on the testimony of two witnesses, Carol and Carolyn, a matter is established. All right. So, hallelujah. So I am, today's message is called, is Facebook on?
No.
Okay. Let's pray first and then we'll turn that on. And Heavenly Father, just thank you for your word today. And thank you for your word. And thank you for your anointing. Thank you for the privilege of this pulpit that you've entrusted me with. Thank you for giving me the health and the strength to come here and stand and sit in this pulpit and deliver your word and to lead worship here. Thank you for my wife, my beloved wife, and her part that she's playing in Aliyah. I miss her, but I'm grateful for what you're doing in her life. And I remember telling her in 1997 to quit her job as a DC-10 pilot. And I told her one day God's going to give it back to you. And you have. You're giving it back to her. And it's beautiful. She's her dream is coming true, besides marrying me. But that's her other dream. But hallelujah. Now bless this word, Lord, and forgive my pride. In Yeshua's name, amen. Can you see me? I won't, just a little bit, but can you see me at all? All right, I'll stand up. I just needed to
stand. It's fine, but...
Okay, I'll stand, and praise the Lord. So, Lord, anoint our eyes and our ears to hear and to see truth from your word. And anoint, let your word does not return void. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Are we on? All right. Well, shalom, friends on Facebook. Hallelujah. Welcome. This is Joe the Rabbi. Somebody said they didn't think I should call myself Rabbi, but I don't call myself Rabbi. I guess I do, Rabbi Joe, because people call me Rabbi Joe. So I guess I called myself Rabbi Joe, and somebody got irked. And so this is Joe the Rabbi. And but if I'm not your rabbi, then you don't have to call me Rabbi Joe. Just call me Joe. And you doesn't have to call me Johnson. And today's message is entitled The Beast and Aliyah, or Aliyah and the Beast. Not Beauty and the Beast, but Aliyah and the Beast. And we're going to talk about Ukraine. We're going to talk about the war. We're going to talk about observations that I've made on the war in Ukraine and how it's going to, when the time for Aliyah from the West comes, how prepared will we be? As I look at what's going on, I think about how ready will we be for what's coming. And I'm going to talk about some of those things today. And I'm also going to talk about why I believe this war is happening. So, I think it has a great deal to do with Aliyah, and I'll explain why. Okay? So as I said last week, let's get into the word, into the message. As I said last week, we should be at the point where we no longer have to think of the beast of Revelation 13 and Daniel 7 as a confederation of wild animals. And it should be clear to us by now that the beast represents many beasts in confederation, nations, not beasts, but nations. The beasts represent nations, a united nations, a confederation of nations. And they posted a statue outside, which I've shown pictures of for the last month. They placed a statue in the fall called outside the United Nations. It's a statue of the beast of Revelation 13 with the wings of the eagle that Daniel prophesied about the beast in Daniel 7, verse 4, talking about the wings of the eagle. And they named this beast, now it's not perfect, but I said last week, when Leonardo da Vinci did the Sistine Chapel ceiling, he made sketches before he painted it. And, you know, the sketches were probably done and redone before he painted the ceiling. That's number one. When Michelangelo, who I mistakenly said was da Vinci, made the statue of David, he made sketches of David before he actually, made the clay the statue of David, the plaster or clay statue. He did sketches of it before he actually he didn't just get up there and mold it into perfect, anatomical symmetry. So anyway, this is a picture. You can go online and you can see it in color. If you look up the Guardian for International Peace and Security, you can see this first draft, let's all call it a first draft of the beast. And the reason it's a first draft of the beast, it may not be the perfect image of the beast, but it's a start. Everybody say it's a start. It's a start because it has what the Bible requires. It has the feet of the bear. It has the body of the leopard, and it has the face of the lion, and that's the wings of the eagle, which are in Daniel's beast. So those are the requirements, the basic. I would say the basic requirements of the beast are there. Now, nations will be added in the form of horns. We come to understand that horns represent nations. The man of lawlessness is a little horn. In Daniel 7 and Daniel 8, Daniel 8 says, and to the horn had a mouth and eyes. I'm picturing a little horn with mouth and eyes, and he spoke great boasts against God and against his people, and he blasphemed the prince of princes, the king of kings, Yeshua. So this little horn is the Antichrist, and he's mentioned in Daniel 8, and he's part of the beast. The point I'm making is, as we see, the beast image is going to change as nations fall off and as nations join the beast. They will be either added to the beast or they will be removed from the image of the beast. Does that make sense? If you think about the United Nations, if Ukraine falls, there will be no Ukraine in the United Nations. So Ukraine, if it falls, God forbid, I hope it doesn't, but it will be taken out of the United Nations. There will be no Ukrainian representative. Maybe there will be like a Ukrainian partisan representative, Ukrainians in exile or something. I don't know what they'll do. But if Russia takes over, nations are changing, the world is changing, and the beast is changing, because the beast isn't a beast, it's not an animal, it represents a confederacy of nations, it represents a united nations, and that makes sense why they made that statue of the beast and placed it at the United Nations. It was removed on December 20th because many Christians complained about it representing the beast of Revelation 13, and the United Nations either covered it up, moved it away, put it in storage, but they took it down. Okay,
So let's move on. As I said last week, we should be at the point where we no longer have to think about the beast of Revelation and Daniel 7 as a bunch of animals, but as a confederation of nations or a united nations. I also pointed out that the statue of the beast at the United Nations should be thought of as a sketch, like that of the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, or a sketch of Michelangelo's David in Florence before David was molded into plaster or clay, whatever he was made out of. That beautiful statue there in Florence of David, you know, in all his glory. somebody removed the fig leaf, I think. I'm not sure. But anyway, don't laugh, Carolyn, okay? okay, Lord bless her. Thank you, Lord. And so before they actually did these pieces of art, they made rough drafts. They made sketches, okay? And that's what, when we see a beast now, we're in the early stages of the beast. So we are watching it develop into the fullness of its ugliness. I won't say glory, I'll say the fullness of its ugliness. But it's being developed. Okay. So in fact, any architect draws plans before he builds a building. He makes blueprints. Well, the statue at the UN, which I showed you again, it's called, you can look it up online, see it in color, the Guardian for International Peace and Security. You'll see it in color if they're still showing it, if they haven't removed it from the internet, but you should look it up, the Guardian for International Peace and Security. It is anything but that. and so it's not perfect. It's like a sketch of what the beast is going to be, but it does have the feet of a bear, the body of a leopard, the face of a lion, and the wings of an eagle, as does the beast of Revelation 13, with the exception of the eagle's wings, representing the USA, which Daniel mentions in Daniel 7:4. But the eagle's wings are quickly plucked and removed, implying that the USA will fall. The USA, our beast, national beast, is the bald eagle, and Daniel 7:4 says that the eagle's wings are part of the beast. Now, of course, every prophecy, you must understand that every prophecy, I told you earlier, and folks on Facebook didn't hear this, but the new covenant was prophesied in Exodus chapter 30 through 34, I believe, when Moses went up the mountain, they built a golden calf down at the bottom of the mountain. Aaron took everybody's gold, built a golden calf, the people worshipped it, and they were dancing and singing and playing, having a great old time and feasting. And Moses came down, didn't know what was going on, couldn't make sense of the sound. When he found out, he became angry, and he smashed the tablets. 3,000 people died that day, idol worshipers, because of idolatry. Because of their sin and their idolatry. Idolatry was Israel's major sin. And idolatry is the major sin of the world. It's the major sin of the world is idolatry. And it's the major sin of paganism. It's the major sin of unbelief is idolatry. Worshipping, if you go to India, they have a god for everything. They have not just the little squatting thing with the weird crown and the 15 hands all over the place. You know, they have gods for everything. You know, God for going to the bathroom, God for eating lunch. They have a God for the moon, God for the sun. And, you know, they have so many gods they can't even keep track of them all. I'd hate to have to be some kind of a priest of Hinduism or whatever it is they or Sikhism, whatever they have so many, their religions and Buddhists over there and Sikhs and Muslims and Hindus, and it's crazy. And they're all a bunch of pagans. They don't know the Lord. But let's go on. So the statue at the UN, we said, is not a perfect representation of the beast, But it does have the feet of the bear, the leopard, of the body of the leopard, and the face of a lion, and the wings of an eagle, as does the beast of Revelation 13, with the exception of the eagle's wings representing the USA, which Daniel mentions in Daniel 7:4, but the eagle's wings are quickly plucked and removed, implying that the USA will fall as a nation before the beast is finished doing its job, and very early on in the work of the beast. And the work that the beast, that the UN, we'll say that the UN is the beast, it's the system. The UN is the system of globalism. It's the system where the nations, that's why that statue is placed at the UN. It is the UN is the beast. I'm going to say that, and the U.S. is removed, and nations will be added to the beast, to the statues, images of the beast. In other words, not nations, but horns. Little horns will be added. The wings of the eagle will be clipped. Right now, if you look at the beast statue that they had at the UN, you notice it has eagle's wings. When the UN, when the U.S. falls, and in Daniel 4, one of the very first things, Daniel 7:4, the wings of the eagle were clipped from the beast. Very early on, when Daniel sees his vision of the beast, he sees the wings of an eagle, but they're clipped, they're plucked very quickly. Before, and the beast goes on and lives, but the eagle's wings. What does that imply? It implies that the United States is not going to be around long in the life of the beast, okay? In the life of the beast, the USA. And you can see it happening. I said last week, we're going to fall because of world climate change. We're going to fall. And somebody challenged me on that and said, Rabbi, they said, sin is why we're going to fall. I said, yes, sin is the reason we're going to fall, but climate change is the method God is going to use to bring us down. Because we are weakening ourselves. We are weakening ourselves by doing away with fossil fuel. We're buying 600,000 barrels of oil from Russia a day. We're financing Russia's war, even though we're punishing their banks and punishing the people with sanctions in Russia. We're not punishing the oil. We're punishing the oligarchs, but we're not punishing the oil, because our Biden wants the oil so that American companies won't drill. He's bought into this Green New Deal. He's such an AOC follower. She's like a cult leader. She's like Jim Jones. And Biden is you know, he must be in love with her, because he's so against drilling. And Purdue, America, and before Biden, was the largest exporter and largest producer of oil and natural gas in the world. And today, we are still buying 600,000 barrels of oil from Russia while the war is going on a day. 600,000 barrels a day. The XL pipeline could produce, if we had continued building it, it would produce 800,000 barrels of oil a day, and we wouldn't need Russia's oil. But Biden continues to buy oil from Russia, and not only that, he's meeting with Iran. His government is meeting with the Iranians, John Kerry, to redo the bogus nuclear peace treaty, and negotiating to buy. Last summer, we bought 1 million gallons of oil from Iran. Iran is the devil. I mean, you know, it's demonic. Iran is part of the beast, a wicked part. It's the leopard. It's represented by the leopard, and the body of the beast is the leopard. And the Iranians, we're buying Iranian oil, and we're negotiating to buy more oil so that Exxon and Chevron Devon Oil and Pioneer and all these companies won't have to produce oil in the U.S. It's like it's a sin for U.S. companies to produce, to have a carbon footprint. They want us to be, what do they call it? Neutral. Is it carbon neutral? What's the name? What? Anybody know what the word I'm looking for? Zero, net carbon, net carbon neutral. That's what they want us to be. They don't care if the whole world uses coal. If Russia uses coal, if China uses coal, if China uses oil. Meanwhile, we are weakening ourselves and making ourselves vulnerable as a nation, and causing inflation, terrible inflation, which is probably, I'm just going to say, a man who does charts that I watch, I follow, he said about a week ago, as the war was just beginning, he didn't factor the war in. He said oil has risen so high at about $99 a barrel. He said I would sell, I would get out of oil. Historically, the pattern of oil on the charts indicates that it's going to fall. Since he said that, oil has gone up about another 15%. Or 20%. It's just gone up and up. And you've noticed that at the pump, right? If you don't follow charts and you don't follow commodities, you at least see it at the pump. It's going up, up, up. And you're going to continue to see that. In fact, several people I've heard talking about it have said that it could go anywhere from $125 a barrel to $200 a barrel. Honestly, we don't know. It really depends when the war ends and how and whether Russia even continues to sell oil to us. If they stop, we're in trouble, and oil's going to go up. So anyway, inflation is not done, and prices. Let me tell you a little story. I ran a bagel shop called the Manna Bagel Company. And when I started the business in 2002, a 50-pound bag of flour cost me $10 a bag, okay? It's the same flour they use in pizza places. It's heavy, high protein, high gluten flour, and it was $10 a bag. By 2004, I bought the business in 2002, In 2004 or so, by 2005, I was paying around $12-$13 a bag of flour. Then around 2008 or 9, all of a sudden, it went up to 20 in the 20s. Flour in 1 week, flour went up from like $17 a bag to $26 a bag, and it was rising. Are you hearing me? It was rising very fast. And I got my salesman on the phone. I said, send me 6 pallets of flour. That's a wooden pallet, with 30 bags of each. Every pallet had 30 bags of 50-pound flour. That's an awful lot of flour, okay? That's 6 months of business in my bagel shop. We used about a pallet a month, about 30 bags a month. And so 6 pallets was 6 months. Why did I buy 6 months? Because I knew the next harvest would come in June. I knew that in January, when I bought the wheat, the flour, that if I waited, that by the next crop, it would likely, the price would drop. I was right. So there's a charity on Commonwealth as you're coming into Bristol called the Lord's Storehouse or Operation Blessing, and they have huge freezers, and so the Gregory brothers let me use their freezers, and I put 3 pallets of flour in these massive, they have massive freezers, and it was used to be a hot dog factory, and I put 3 pallets of flour in a deep freeze. You're talking -5 degrees, okay? I put three pallets of flour will last indefinitely at -5 degrees, okay? It will. If you put it in a deep freeze. So if you have a deep freezer, store some flour, you'll be fine. No problem with bugs. Bugs don't grow in -5 degrees. Okay? All right. I also put 2 pallets in a house that I owned that I was renting out, and I didn't have a tenant, so I put 2 pallets on the back porch, in the shade and kept them locked up. And I kept a pallet or two in the bagel shop. And I was able to raise my prices about 15 cents from 60 cents a bagel to 70 or 75 cents a bagel. I stayed in business. But if I had let, which flour, and I bought flour, six pallets at $26 a pallet, a bag, it went up to $57 a bag. I would have had to raise my prices from 60 cents a bagel to a dollar, dollar 10. And I don't think back in 2009, people would have bought bagels. I don't think they would have bought dozens. People weren't prepared for that kind of inflation back then. I think that God saved me from the higher prices that I was going to have to charge people. I got in at a lower price at $26 a bag. It was a deal for me. And so I made it through those 6 months, and then I got, the price of flour went down, but it never went down. It was always up around $17. It never went back down, you know, as low as it had been. Okay, so let's go on. That's inflation, guys. So we're seeing, I don't know if you noticed that, I don't know if you realize this, but if you've been buying bread, you may notice that wheat, if you've been buying bread lately, you may notice the cost of a loaf of bread or a box of cereal has gone up 30-40% in a week. You know, things that cost $2.99, maybe 50, almost 40%, 30%, yeah. Things that cost $2.99 or $3.25 are now $4.99, $5.50 a box. And loaves of bread that cost $2.99 or $3.99, I like that David's natural bread. I like that wheat bread. You know, it's very natural, non-GMO. I used to get it for $3.99 a loaf. Now it's $5.50. I'm glad I stocked up on a few loaves in my deep freezer. You know, I wish I had bought more, but it's now $5.50 to $6 a loaf. That's inflation. Wheat commodities have gone up. The price of wheat, I guess, a bushel, or if you were to buy on the market, was $7 on the wheat fund, WEAT, was about $7.30 2 weeks ago. Yesterday, it had gone up as high as $12, almost doubled, almost doubled. And then it dropped back to 10. And if you're an investor, this might be a good time to pick some up. If it goes down to $9, you might want to pick some up, because I think wheat's going to be going up again. So anyway, okay, so let's go on. That's inflation. And in the war, we are not in a normal situation because of all the quantitative easing that our Federal Reserve has been doing, and the fact that they're going to raise interest rates. We've never been in a situation like this with war, and with war, and as Zelensky calls it, World War III. You know, we've never seen a situation where we were in such difficult economic condition, where our stock market was tanking, and the Federal Reserve is about to raise interest rates, and we've never been in a situation with a war that's threatening our energy supply and Russia supplies everything for electric vehicles that we need. Aluminum, nickel for batteries, aluminum, other precious metals and things are produced by the Russians, and we won't be buying those. And so the market for nickel is going up. Aluminum, through the roof. Commodities are just going crazy. I mean, it's just going crazy. And so I'm here to warn you. I said I'm a watchman. Prices are going to be going up more and more. Mark my words. All right, let's continue. So the eagle's wings are quickly plucked and removed, implying that the USA will fall as a nation. I have said for 6 years that the USA is the goat of Daniel 8, who will destroy Iran's military. I did a series of messages in 2016, 9 months before Donald Trump was elected. About this is a called these are this is a series of prophecy called the Last President of the United States series, Daniel 7 and 8, and this predicted. Now I was not a Trump supporter, but I was actually supporting another candidate. But I saw in my studies, after having studied Daniel 8 for a full year, I believe God revealed to me that, well, God did reveal to me that Trump was going to be the next president, and he was. These were preached in 2000, 9 months before he was elected. You can get this series if you want. $30. Just the cost of shipping this thing, it's expensive. So we'll ship you the CDs. I'll give you every CD I have on it, and for your gift. But I can't help shipping prices. It's not that bad, $30 for four CDs. So, and you can hear the message. So let's go on. So I also wrote an article about it, of the same name, The Last President of the United States, and parts one and two, that Donald Trump is the ruler in Daniel 8 from the West, represented by the one-horned goat, who defeats Medo-Persia. Now, I know, and many of you will say, some of you will say, Alexander the Great is the ruler pictured in Daniel 8, and that's true. He's who it's talking about, but the prophecy is for the end times. The angel Gabriel appears to Daniel and says, this is prophecy is not for now, it's for later, it's for the end of days. So it's about a war with Iran in the end times. Why would the world have a war, or why would a Western power have a war with Iran in the end times? Well, what's Iran doing? Making weapons-grade uranium, right? Isn't that what they're doing, Dave? They're producing weapons-grade uranium and nuclear weapons. That's what Iran's doing. They're building the bomb. And they've got ICBMs. They just announced 2 weeks ago they have a missile capable of reaching Israel. And I think the implication of that is that they could put a warhead on that missile. God will not allow Iran to destroy Israel because it's not in the Bible. And if it's not in God's word, then God will not allow, just as he wouldn't allow Goliath to destroy Israel, and he raised up David and gave him five stones when he only needed one to kill the giant. God has raised up the United States to destroy Iran and stop them from attacking Israel, and they've threatened to blow Israel off the map. And so it's God is guarding his word. Do you understand that? God is guarding his word. If God's word isn't true, then God is a liar. And his word can't be trusted. Amen? But we know God isn't a liar, and his word is true. We do. Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. So God has to protect Israel. I can't speak for the United States, because God doesn't say we must protect the United States from nuclear weapons. It's not in there. I can't say that we won't be nuked, but Israel sure as sugar won't be. And I believe, well, I'll continue on, God has chosen this country to destroy Iran's nukes. But then why is our president and his government negotiating for a nuclear treaty with Iran, who's the enemy? Why are we buying oil from them? Do you think that the same president and his government who is renegotiating the Obama covenant with Iran and buying oil from them, and he's begging them for oil like he begged OPEC and Russia, do you think that president is going to attack Iran? Do you seriously think he would? I don't think so. I don't think so. So the eagle's wings are plucked quickly after the beast is first seen in Daniel 7, very, very soon after in verse 4. The wings of the eagle, which I believe represent the United States, are plucked, implying that the USA will fall as a nation. I've said for 6 years that the goat of Daniel 8, who will destroy Iran's military, its government, and its nukes immediately before the U.S. falls. The last great act of the United States, brothers and sisters, is the fall, is the destruction of Iran. When you see Iran's military and their nukes and their government fall at the hands of the next president, not this one, but the one who comes in 24, I believe it's going to be, I call him Red Bull, old number 45 is coming back. He's going to destroy Iran's nukes. I said he was going to do it. I was very quiet when he wasn't reelected. I wrote in my article, The Last President of the United States, Parts 1 and 2, that Donald John Trump is the ruler from the West, represented by the one-horned goat of Daniel 8, who defeats Medo-Persia, which is modern Iran, and its satellite countries, such as Syria, Lebanon, and at least half of Iraq. Please read my article on the last president at www.forzionsake.org under newsletters. Look up the last president of the United States at forzionsake.org, F-O-R-Z-I-O-N-S-A-K-E, for the full story, because I'm not going to teach it here today. Suffice to say, I predicted that Trump would be president 9 months before he was elected, based on having studied Daniel 8 for a full year. I said he would have 2 terms, but like so many other pastors, rabbis, teachers, and prophets who predicted Trump would have 2 terms, we were all stunned when he lost the election in 2020. Many kept talking and saying, oh, he'll be in office by March. Oh, he'll be in office by April last year. Oh, he'll be in office by July. I kept my mouth shut, but it never happened. Meanwhile, I kept silent until now. And as I watch Russia invade Ukraine mercilessly while Europe and the USA look on but refuse to truly help Ukraine for fear of Putin, don't they know that the former Soviet Union that Putin is attempting to restore to its former glory as his legacy before he departs this world for the lake of fire included Romania, Poland, Hungary, East Germany, Czechoslovakia, now known as the Czech Republic, Bulgaria, and Albania? His goal is to restore the former Soviet Union to its former glory. Those countries right on the border of Russia and Ukraine, if he takes Ukraine, the next country over is Poland, Romania, Bulgaria, Hungary, Moldova, then you keep going through Poland and you come to East Germany or Czechoslovakia. Those in the countries, Albania, they were part of the former Soviet Union. That's what he's after. Don't these countries that are part of NATO realize that if they don't stop Putin now, they will have to face his military later, maybe next summer or next year? Perhaps if they weren't such cowards, they would see his true intent and fight alongside Ukraine. For goodness sake, 40 miles of Russian tanks, trucks, armored vehicles loaded with soldiers are sitting ducks begging to be bombed to oblivion. Instead, NATO and those countries that could help Ukraine are letting it die a slow death as they try to fight with bullets not much bigger than a .22 caliber. A Kalashnikov bullet's a pretty good round, but it's not a .50 caliber, I'll tell you that. They sure could use some .50 caliber machine guns. They need help. So why is this happening? Why? Why is this war happening? Why aren't they helping? What's God doing? What's God allowing? World history revolves around Israel, friends. The world may think that Israel is just a tiny part of history, an insignificant player on the landscape of great world powers, compared to the United States, China, Russia, Rome, Babylon, Persia, all the great empires of the world, and great cities: New York City, Los Angeles, Washington, France, Paris, Germany, London, Rome. But people forget, when the Berlin Wall fell in 1989, the Jews became free to leave the former Soviet Union, and over a million of them did leave for Israel. Many others came here to the United States. Ministries helped the Jews go home from Mother Russia, but not places like Belarus. See, when ministries, Dave, do you remember reading about, in the books that you read about Aliyah, do you remember reading about them helping Jews out of Belarus, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, or Georgia? What's that? What do you mean? The focus. So the primary... They're what? Two?
Yes, you're right.
They didn't focus on these countries. So what's my point? By saying that when the walls came down, and you have to understand, friends, when I was a boy, the Soviet Union charged $1,000 for a Jew. And they would release a Jew, 20,000 Jews a year they would release, about. And $1,000, a price was a Jew's worth to the Russians was $1,000 a Jew. That's what our value to Putin and to Brezhnev and to those leaders of Russia in the Soviet era was $1,000. So we would have phone-a-thons every year, combined Jewish philanthropies, and I, as a 14-year-old, started calling, raising money to buy Jews out of the Soviet Union. But in 1989, when the wall fell down and I was 23 years old, we no longer had to do that because Jews were able to go home. They just needed a way. And so ministries rose up that were shipping. There was a ship, a guy named Gustav Scheller was a rich Swede living in England. He bought a cruise ship. The Lord directed him to buy a cruise ship. He refitted it. He got permission from the new government, from maybe Gorbachev or the other guy before him, I don't know. But he went through the red tape, and he started taking Jews, tens of thousands of Jews, back from Russia. Everybody say Russia. Russia. It's important. Russia. He started taking Jews from Russia back to Israel. But he didn't take them from Ukraine. He didn't take them from Georgia. He wasn't getting them from Belarus. He wasn't getting them from Kazakhstan or Turkmenistan. Do you understand? Or East Germany or whatever. He was getting them from Russia. And the focus has been getting Jews out of Russia, not the former out satellite countries of the empire. So this... what happened to the millions of Jews still living in Eastern Europe and the breakaway republics of the former Soviet Union that I just mentioned? Survey says nothing. Nobody paid any attention to them. Oh, Eckstein and his Wings of Eagles brought them some food, food boxes, but they didn't help them go back to Israel and leave. They just bought them food. And helped them survive, Holocaust survivors. By the way, Eckstein's ministry does not share the gospel. They're an Orthodox Jewish ministry that tries to convert godless Jews living in the former Soviet Union, convert them to Orthodox Judaism. So that's why I don't support that ministry. There are better ministries that are sharing the gospel. And Christians need to know that share the gospel, feed those Jews, and help them go back to Israel. You need to research the ministry you're supporting. So the Jews in those countries were largely left behind. Not anymore, you see. Over 1 million people have fled Ukraine, friends. Home to the largest Messianic synagogue in the world and a Jewish population of 100,000 to 400,000 people. Even their president is Jewish, Zelensky. Friends, we are watching the final chapter of the Soviet exodus unfold before our very eyes. Do you hear me? We are watching the final chapter of the exodus from the former Soviet Union of Jews unfold before our very eyes. When I told you about when I was a boy, we used to pay $1,000. But after the wall fell, the telethon stopped. Over 1 million Jews, Russian Jews, came to Israel, and probably 1 million more went to the U.S. Around that time, when I was in high school in the early 1980s, there was a boy in my carpool named Gary Pave. His real name was Igor Pavlovich, or Igor Pavlovich, Gary Pave, from Odessa, Ukraine. By the way, I'm Ukrainian too, 25 to 40% Ukrainian. His family had recently moved to the U.S. around 1980, and we attended high school together. There simply was no exodus from Ukraine, though. Georgia, Belarus, and other Soviet republics, except Russia. All the money, all the aliyah, was focused on several million Russian Jews. God didn't forget his people in the other Soviet republics. And before the doors shut on the Jewish people, as Putin rebuilds the Soviet Union, God is going to get his people out. He is using this war to get them to leave. God is using this war to get Jews to leave Ukraine, and will use this war to get them to leave Belarus. By the way, I'll tell you more. I'll just share. I don't even have to say it's in here. I have been studying this war and the level of unpreparedness for crisis among the population. I have watched thousands flee to the border with shopping bags filled with diapers or a change of clothes, maybe a pillow and a blanket, a couple of cans of tuna, some crackers and juice. Really nothing but the clothes on their backs. I would like to think that if I were a Ukrainian and I started seeing the Russian military build up on my country's border with 10,000 soldiers and weapons, then finally 180,000 soldiers and tanks and planes and artillery 2 weeks ago, I'd like to think that long before the war began, I would have moved my assets to Poland or Israel or England. And I like to think that I would have left at least a month or two or three before the war began and would have gone to a country where I had money in the bank or invested so that I would have something to go to. Amen? Wouldn't you, if you were Ukrainian, wish that you had done the same? I doubt many did. And we're seeing now the banks are shut. They can't get their money out. They've got nothing but the clothes on their back. That's what's going to happen here. Same thing's going to happen here, friends. People are not going to be ready. And what you see over there, I think we read in Matthew, I think it's Matthew 17, talks about the Tower of Siloam, where it fell on eight and killed 18 people. And Yeshua said to his, you know, don't judge those people as sinners. They were no different sinners than you. And what happened to them could happen to you. Don't think that what's happening in Ukraine couldn't happen to this country. Do not for a minute think that we will not see it on our shores. In fact, you'd be better to expect it and be ready for it. Okay. Did anybody see the handwriting on the wall? By the grace of God, tens of thousands of Jews are fleeing Ukraine, along with Russian Orthodox Ukrainians, Evangelical Ukrainians, and pagan Ukrainians. Oh, I am learning a lot about preparedness as I watch this war unfold. I am also seeing God's hand complete the exodus. before all the gates that have been opened since 1989 shut one last time on the Jews. Some of you may ask, Brother Rabbi Joe, why would God allow such a horrific war to get his people to leave? My answer, it took the Holocaust to fill Israel with Jews and birth the ancient nation of Israel again in 1948. We are creatures of comfort, friends, and we generally don't move unless we are forced to. Like COVID caused millions of Americans to leave New York, Baltimore, Connecticut, California, Michigan for warmer, less restrictive southern states where people could work from home and go to the beach. They went to their summer homes in Rhode Island. They went up into the mountains in Vermont, and they fled, and the population has emptied out of places like New York, although many are moving back there now. The real estate market's rising in New York. It would have been good to invest in real estate 6 months ago in New York City and then sell it. If I could have afforded something, I would have, but I don't know if I could have afforded it even at a cheap price. Anyway, even companies like Tesla, Hewlett-Packard, and Oracle moved to Texas during the COVID crisis. I bet you didn't know that, what makes people move? I bet a lot of people don't think about that. What does it take to get people to move, to leave a country, to leave their homeland? These people are proud. They want to fight for their homeland. They don't realize that it's over. The game is over. Putin is going to win. He's going to take Ukraine. You may not want to hear that, but unless NATO intervenes or the U.S. intervenes and we actually do something, they will fall. And Putin will go on to Poland. He'll go on to Romania and Moldova and Latvia, Lithuania, and other such countries. And he will rebuild the former Soviet Union, because that is the legacy he wants to leave before he dies and goes to the lake of fire. I mark my word. Now, don't take my word, mark it. Pray about my word. If you don't believe me, ask God. God is Rabbi Joe telling it straight. Now, with that said, what I just said, there's people, famous people. Somebody said Pat Robertson is teaching that this is Gog and Magog. This is not Gog and Magog. This is totally different. This is rebuilding the Soviet Empire, the Soviet Union, and this is going west, not south. Okay? Now, will Turkey, once the former Soviet Union is empowered and Russia grows in strength, will Turkey bow? Yes, they will. Will they go south then? Yes, they will. They'll be at the mercy of Russia. And just like Russia is at the mercy of China and had to go begging. By the way, in the United Nations, well, Russia went, Putin went during the Olympics and got the permission of his master. Well, I'll talk about it in a minute. I wrote about it, but so I won't say it. I'll talk about it, but I'll read it. Conclusion, beyond not storing food or owning guns, beyond having no plan for Russian invasion whatsoever, God has managed to get tens of thousands of his chosen people out of Ukraine, and Christians too. Many will go to Israel. That is God's plan. When Putin finishes rebuilding the former Soviet Union, as I predict he will over time, pray about what I'm saying, don't just take my word, I predict he's going to do that over the next 3 years of Biden's presidency. Since there is no Churchill or FDR or Trump to stop him, we shall see a wild Russian bear stomp. And by the way, turn to Daniel 7. Let's see what Daniel said about the bear. And you'll see why I believe Daniel confirms what I'm saying in Daniel 7. People argue with me and say when I prophesy, when I say that Daniel 7 and 8 is end time prophecy, people argue with me, but everybody accepts that Daniel 9 is an end time prophecy. Everybody accepts it, that Daniel 9 is talking about the coming of the Messiah and the destruction of the temple and the 70 weeks. It's all end time prophecy. Not all of it, but a lot of it. They all accept that, but people, when you tell them that Daniel 8, they'll say, oh no, that's Alexander the Great. You know, why do they have such a hard time believing that Daniel 8? But anyways, let's read Daniel 7 about Russia, about the bear. Okay, so it says, and behold, verse 5, another beast, a second one resembling a bear, a bar, bar. How do I say it around here? A bear? A bear. And it was raised up on one side, and three ribs were in its mouth between its teeth. And thus they said to it, arise, devour much flesh. Arise, devour much flesh. The Russian bear, which is the feet of the beast. And I told you last week, what do the feet represent? Our ability to move, our mobility, our foundation, the beginning. Our beginning is our feet. We walk, we run, we move. It's the feet that it may be the brain that causes the feet to move, but without feet, the beast isn't moving. So the feet are moving on the beast. It's moving now. The beast is moving fast. And Daniel says the beast was told to devour much flesh. To me, that's confirmation that they're going to devour Ukraine, but they're also going to devour Romania and Poland and Slovakia and Slovenia and Romania and Bulgaria and Moldova and Lithuania and Latvia and Finland. They're not going to stop. Who thinks they're going to stop? Raise if they take Ukraine. Raise your hand. I won't humiliate you or say anything. I'm just curious if anyone thinks they're going to stop at Ukraine. Anybody? I don't. Okay, let's finish up. Hallelujah. When Putin finishes rebuilding the former Soviet Union, as I predict, he will, over the next 3 years, since there is no Churchill, FDR, or Trump to stop him, we shall see a wild Russian bear destroy and wreak havoc in the world, rebuild the Soviet Union, and kill much flesh, and force God's chosen people to leave the countries where they are sitting comfortably now, until now, and force them to go home to Israel. You follow me? God will use war. If you don't believe me, turn to Jeremiah 16, please. That God uses war to get people to leave. Oh, he used the Holocaust. You know, Jews who survived the Holocaust, tens of thousands, maybe in the hundreds of thousands, they fled. They went to Israel. They went to the, because they said, there's no safe country for us. We only the promised land. That's the land promised by God, is the only safe country for us, Jews. We have no other country that we can go to. Those were the smart ones to go to Israel. And Daniel 16:14 says, therefore, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be said, as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel from the land of the north and from all the countries where he had banished them. For I will restore them to their own land, which I gave to their fathers. Behold, I am going to send for many fishermen, declares the Lord, and they will fish for them. And afterwards I shall send for many hunters, and they will hunt them from every mountain and every hill and from the clefts of the rocks. We'll stop there. God says that an exodus is coming that's so great of Jews that we're going to forget Moses. He says, no longer will they say the Lord lives who brought the children up from Egypt, of Israel out from Egypt, but the Lord lives who brought up the sons of Israel from the land of the north, Russia. That's the land of the north. Soviet Union. Or seeing God bring his people home from the land of the north, as I said, and from all the countries where he had banished them. For I will restore them to their own land, which I gave to their fathers. Behold, I'm going to send for fishermen. So first, he sent for fishermen. Who are fishermen? Peter was a fisherman, right? John was a fisherman. What is it? He says, I will make you fishers of men. So fishermen represent evangelists, people preaching. They're good guys, right, Caleb? Fishermen are good guys, okay? Now, no offense here, Caleb, because I know you are one, but he says, after the fishermen, I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt them from every mountain and every hill. And from that's where we're in right now, and from the clefts of the rock. We're in the time of the hunters. We've crossed over from the time of the fishermen to the time of the hunters. And hunters aren't nice. Now, Caleb's a nice hunter. And he hunts deer, and we're glad for that. But the kind of hunter God's talking about is deadly. And we're living in the age of the hunters. I believe on 9/11, the world changed. I believe on 9/11, that's when New York City, I think that's when the time of the hunters began. When non-military attacks using civilians, attacking civilians, destroying civilians, in the name of Allah, and not attacking militaries, but hitting people. A hunter sneaks up on its prey and doesn't give it a warning, right? Fishermen, they drop the bait or the lure. They give the fish has a choice. Bite or don't bite. Amen? The fish knows the fisherman's there. At least he knows the bait's there. He just has a choice whether to bite it and get the hook. But a hunter, he doesn't have a choice. When the hunter strikes, if he aims well, it's all over. Okay. So what of the beast system? Because we're in the time of the hunters. We have learned that China represents the dragon, who is Satan of old. See Revelation 12:9. And it is China who gives the beast its authority, its power. If you don't think that Satan can work through the Chinese and the voice of the Chinese, of the premier of China, the leader, then look up Genesis 3, I think it is, about how Satan spoke through a serpent. If Satan can speak through a serpent, he can surely speak through the premier of China. Amen? And China's symbol is the dragon. And I find it interesting that we saw that Putin went to seek the blessing during the Olympics of the Chinese premier before attacking Ukraine, and he received that blessing. Not only that, he made a financial treaty to go around the SWIFT system that we have cut off Russia from and create a new financial system with China, and also a plan to sell China oil and gas and other commodities that we need, but to sell to provide China with those things. So Russia's people are hurting, but Putin's not hurting. We also see China distancing itself in one sense from Russia because of Putin's failures and his ruthlessness and unpopularity. Xi Jinping is much less messy than Putin. He's much less messy. We see the USA buying 600,000 barrels of oil a day from Russia even while the war goes on. Yes, we have largely built Putin's $700 billion war chest over the past year, being his largest customer, and continue to finance his wars. America and Joe Biden have the blood of Putin's innocent victims on their hands, and maybe we do too if we buy gasoline knowing that it's meant 600,000 gallons a day come from Russia Maybe we should stop buying gas, but we continue to buy it because petroleum, if world domination is the goal of the beast and globalism, gasoline is the food that feeds the beast. Oil and petroleum is the food that feeds the beast. And it's the nations that believe in this climate change stuff that will be cut off from the beast. They will be destroyed because look at Germany. They shut down their nuclear power plants in the name of climate change. They shut down all their fossil fuels and depended on Russia for natural gas. And where did that leave them? Where did that leave Germany when this war broke out? At the mercy of Russia. And we're doing the same thing. We are cutting off our fossil fuels and buying from our enemies, from Iran, from Russia, and doing business with China. Joe Biden is bought by China. He's bought by Russia. He's bought by Iran. And he's not going to fight them. That's why I think Trump's coming back to destroy Iran for God's sake, to protect God's word. All right. So America and Joe Biden have the blood of Putin's innocent victims on their hands. Maybe we do too. We need to pray about that. Maybe we should buy electric cars after all from Elon Musk. I don't know. I'm not for electric cars. But maybe that's God's way of saying to us, I'm just saying, not telling you to do this. I'm just saying, maybe it's a way we can get our hands away from dirty money, oil money. If we truly believe in the cause, but I doubt we will, I predict that electric pickup trucks will be a massive failure. You see, the global tree-hugging, Prius-driving, climate change freaks don't understand the mindset of the mid-American people and the South, and people of the South, people of the heartland and of the South. Oh, you can call it a Ford or a Chevy, but you ain't going to fool anybody. We'll only buy their stupid electric pickup trucks if they take away gasoline and parts to vehicles, making it impossible for us to drive internal combustion engines. I mean, if you had a choice between buying a pickup truck that was electric and an internal combustion engine, knowing there was going to be gasoline plentiful in parts for 20 years, which would you buy? I'd buy the ICE pickup truck, not the electric. You know, Biden is weak. He is bought and paid for by the Russians, by the Chinese, and the Iranians. He's dumb enough to think that if he's nice to them, they will play nice with him. Only a fool would think you can make deals with the devil and come out on top. The left is so blinded by the titillating scent of climate change, like a bull in heat. All they can think about is making America carbon neutral at any cost. That mistake will be our downfall. Sin is the root, but that will be the mistake. As we have witnessed Germany shut down their nuclear power plants and rely solely on Russian gas and natural gas, only to get burned, no pun intended, by Russia in the end. Yes, they too will fall for their stupidity, as will Ukraine, who gave up their nuclear weapons to Russia in the Budapest Accords back in 1994, in exchange for a promise of peace from Putin. Well, we can see how well that worked out. In Daniel 7:4, the wings of the eagle are plucked, removed from the beast, early on in the life of the beast. We will be taken down by Russia, Iran, perhaps countries like England. I don't know. We don't know what countries are going to rise up in the beast besides Russia. But I mark my words, Russia is not done devouring flesh and conquering countries. Russia will not stop. If they had read the Bible, NATO would have attacked and helped Ukraine. But there isn't a single one who understands prophecy that leads a country, especially that Angela Merkel genius who's a pastor's kid. We will be taken down. England is our ally now, but who knows in 3 years whether they'll be our ally. It could easily become our enemy in the future. If Trump is the goat of Daniel 8, then the message is clear. We have from 2025, the next election, January 20th, 2025, to sometime maybe in 2029, tops, before we are divided. There's only going to be one more president who will bring back the glory of this country. Briefly, that'll be our time of exodus. We have I call it the exodus window, the window of exodus, the time to get out. If he's elected in 25 and 24 and starts his term in 25, we'll know the time to get out is between 25 and 29. Because if we wait till afterward, the globalists will take over. That'll be the end. We won't have a chance to get out. Borders close, people. Isn't it funny? We want to shut the borders of Ukraine to Russians. We want to give guns, and the West wants to take away your guns. But they want to give Kalashnikovs and machine guns to the people of Ukraine. But they want to take away your guns. Isn't that funny? They want to protect Ukraine's borders, but they want to and they want to complain in the UN about violating Ukraine's borders, but they don't want to protect our borders. I find that interesting. So I'm not predicting the coming of Jesus, Yeshua, but I am predicting that we have only the time of the next president, or now. If you want to move now, make Aliyah, this wouldn't be bad, but definitely want to do it during the next presidency, which I believe will, and again, don't take my word for it. I predicted Trump's first election. I'm finally speaking out and saying, after I see Biden in bed with the Iranians, he's not going to attack them. Somebody has to. If you read Daniel 8, there's an end-time war with Iran, and only the U.S. could destroy them. It was a Western superpower, it says. So read Daniel 8 for yourself. You'll see it. And I believe it's the United States, and I believe it's got to be... Trump, is the one who's going to do it. It doesn't matter what my politics are. I just think he is... the one who's going to do it. I predicted it 9 months before. I didn't know about Black Lives Matter or Antifa or any of that stuff. I just predicted he was going to be the one. Essentially, we will no longer be a superpower after Iran is defeated. The dollar will be replaced as the reserve currency of the world, and the dragon, China, and Russia desire. So in other words, they desire to... probably the yuan will be the reserve currency of the world. By the way, did you know that Russia is sitting at the as the chairman of the UN Security Council? Does everybody know that? People at home, if you don't believe that the UN United Nations is the beast, all you have to know is that Russia is the chair sitting at has veto power in the UN Security Council. And when the Security Council voted to sanction Russia for invading Ukraine and killing innocent civilians, Russia vetoed the sanction. If that isn't proof that the United Nations is not the guardian of international peace and security in any way, shape, or form, that they are the beast. They are, the beast is the United Nations. It's a system. It's not an animal. It's a system of nations. Okay, let's bring it home. Friends, we must prepare for Aliyah to happen during that period. Now, we need to start preparing now. It's like imagine, if you will, that there were 50,000 Russian soldiers on the Canadian border, or Chinese soldiers on the Canadian border with the U.S., with tanks and artillery and planes. And imagine that they just kept growing. Would you stay here, or would you put your money elsewhere? I assure you, you would not want to stay. If you're a thinking person, and you've been listening to me, you'd be thinking about where you could go, what country you could go to. And I guarantee you, Tucson, Arizona isn't the answer. I assure you, you would not want to stay in America that looks like Ukraine does today after about 10 days of war. God will make a way for you, friend. Fear not, but be ready. And don't get caught with your pants down so that you have to leave with only the clothes on your back and a couple cans of tuna fish and maybe some bottled water. We had Evan Lieberman come and visit us in November so people could begin to transfer their assets to Israel and monetize their investments in the shekel, not the dollar. I bet hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians who were not able to even get their money out of the banks wish they had opened accounts even in Poland or Hungary or Romania so they could flee there and have something waiting for them. It's not too late to invest in Israel. I make no money from suggesting this. I get no benefit, but I'm not a employee of Wise Money Israel, but I personally recommend wisemoneyisrael.com and my friend Evan Lieberman who runs it. Yes, Israel is the destination for me. Like, you know, that TV show, Green Acres is the place for me. Well, Israel is my Green Acres. My wife is working toward flying to the Promised Land, as I have spoken for some 25 years. I believe she will fly thousands of Jews and Christians home to Israel, including some of us, and I plan to be on one of those planes. The lesson is to be ready, to get out when the signs point to it. The Soviet Union will come back in some form similar to what it was, because NATO and the U.S. will let them conquer over the next 3 years until Trump comes back. China will likely take Taiwan, and South Korea will, via North Korea, will probably fall to the North Koreans. Perhaps Japan and the Philippines might fall too. Vietnam, maybe even Australia. As I said last week, the beast has begun to move in a prophetic fashion that we can fully understand if we understand who the players are. We can understand the beast if we know who the players are. And if we know that the bear is Russia, we know that the leopard, the body is Iran, we know that the lion is England. It hasn't entered the picture yet, but it will. The lion's face is England, and the wings of on the beast at the United Nations is the United States. Those wings will be plucked. So we will not be part of it for very long. The last act that will happen in the United States is not only to help Jews go home from America will be one thing, but the very last act that happens before America falls will be we will destroy Iran. So note, when America destroys Iran and our leader, as it says in Daniel 8, it gets very prideful and proud of himself, puffs himself up because he defeated Iran, know that's when America's about to fall. The Bible says so. If you believe the goat of Daniel 8 is the United States, you have to believe it. I can be wrong, but I wasn't wrong. When I predicted Trump 9 months before he was elected. So, I do think he's coming back. I just didn't see we're in an intermission. God's actually given us a grace period. This Biden administration is just extra time for you and me, friend. So as I said last week, the beast has begun to move in a prophetic fashion that we can fully understand if we understand who the players are. I believe God has given us the key of David. I preached that months ago, to open the doors to understand these things, friends. We've been given the key of David to open the doors to understand these prophetic things that are happening so that we can know that it's not Gog and Magog, as the false prophets and false teachers on TV are saying that this is Gog and Magog. It's not Gog and Magog. Turkey is not an ally of Russia right now, and they're not going, or Turkey's a very strong country, much stronger than Turkey's much stronger than Ukraine militarily. And that Russia could not just come in and take Turkey. They could talk Turkey, but they're not going to take it. Okay, and lastly, only those with a pure heart will understand the parables, the metaphors, and the allegory. Others will teach mistakenly that Gog and Magog, that this is Gog and Magog. I am hearing that by big money prophecy teachers with no real vision, leading people astray. Finally, I'll bet tens of thousands of evangelical Ukrainians and even some Messianic Jewish ones are wondering why they weren't raptured before the tribulation began. Don't kid yourselves. This is World War III, as Zelensky has said. We're only fooling ourselves as we did in 1939 and 40 to think that it isn't. If you wish to learn more about my teaching on the beast, my previous teachings, please go to my website, www.forzionsake.org. Go to live streaming and scroll down for archive services, or go to my Facebook page and just scroll down to previous weeks. Just skip ahead of the message on the website if you wish. Thank you for your support of this ministry. God uses you to keep us going. So your donations can also be made online at our webpage, Friends on Facebook. Also, please sign up for our teaching newsletter, my prophecy letter called the Zion Letter, at our website. We promise not to bombard you with mail. Please rise. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'ir Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace and soon coming King. Shabbat Shalom. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. We're going to have lunch. We're going to have a brief planning meeting. I have just a few issues to address with you. I promise it won't be more than 30 minutes. I will not let it go longer than that. But we do have some things to talk about. So, lunch will be served in the fellowship hall. Thank you for coming. Shabbat Shalom. I'm just going to pack up my stuff and I'll meet you over there. Thank you. God bless.